Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Welcome everybody to Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you for joining us tonight for our live edition of the podcast. We have quite a show in store for you tonight. Of course, our phone number up there on the screen tonight, 216-GHOST-10. If you're watching us live on Facebook tonight, that's the number to dial into. 216-GHOST-10. And if you dial in, hang on the line. You'll be on hold for a little while till we get to your call. But do know that we will get to it. So 216-GHOST-10 is our phone number live tonight. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again for a live edition of the program. And tonight, I'm excited about this because, you know, it's Spirits with Spirits, as we do every single Tuesday night here on the show. And tonight, we actually have some of the folks who have brought us the spirits with stories of the spirits.
Yes.
And I want to hand me that bottle over there, the Iowa Legendary Rye whiskey. They have the whiskey, they have the vodka, and they have the white rye. And I'm really excited about this. It's some really, really good stuff. And Heath is joining us, and so is his mom. And his mom is actually, is it next of kin, Heath? Is she the granddaughter or the daughter of the one who came up with the original recipe?
It was her mother.
It was her mother. Okay. Now, I'm curious because these are some really interesting recipes, and I'm going to be honest with you. You know, we've gotten the Ryan a couple weeks back, and before we did this episode, and as we sit down here, we get them in and we go, I'm really curious. Let's taste this before we go on the air. I'm just, you know, we just can't help ourselves. And I'm going to be honest with you, Heath. You know, we get a lot of stuff in, and I think this has been one of our favorites of anything over the last several months. I mean, there's been some really good ones, but honestly, I'm not just trying to butter you up, but you've got a great product.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. Grandma was quite the baker. We always call our whiskey a baker's recipe because some of the things we don't share with our competitors and the general public is the methods that she came up with back in the 1930s to come up with such a fantastic and unique product. So we're glad you liked it. It's a very popular statement that it's unique, and I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It's great stuff. And I have to ask, because my dad is a rye guy, and he's the one who kind of got me started on enjoying rye. But I've never had like a rye vodka. I've never seen a clear rye. Can you explain to our listeners? Because I'm guessing a lot of them throughout the country have no idea even like what that is. Because, you know, rye whiskey, people are somewhat familiar with that. What's the clear rye and what's the rye vodka? How is that done?
So clear rye is going to be the same as a caramelized looking rye, only it's never touched a charred oak barrel.
Okay.
So if we were sitting out in a field, which is what my grandma did back in the 30s, and we were making whiskey, it would come out of the still clear. And that's what we call white rye. And that's probably the best description of that is a great substitute for vodka or tequila or any other clear liquor. It has a little more of a vanilla, caramely taste to it. It enhances the flavor of juices and fruit. Mm-hmm. So it makes for a great mix. And it's what you get from the still when you run the still and you don't put the liquor in the barrel.
I was right there. When my wife asked me, or when Jen here asked me earlier tonight, she's like, so what is the clear rye? And I said, well, I'm guessing it probably never hit a barrel. That's yeah, like what my guess was. Okay.
Yep. Good guess.
Yeah.
And then the vodka is just a longer flute. When you have a still, you have a top apparatus that dictates what type of liquor comes out of the still. And when you lengthen that flute, you get a vodka product, and then the way you also finish up that vodka is you run it through a carbon filter, so it takes some of the rye and the whiskey flavor out of it
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a wonderful product. I mean, it really, I'm not joking with you. I mean, it really is. Just for our listeners are all over the world. They're all over the country. Where is your product available right now?
Well, our product is available in Iowa and Nebraska, and it can be sent all over the world if they want to reach out to us. Do you mind if I mention our website?
No, go ahead, plug it.
Yeah, our website is iowalegendaryrye.com, and they can email me at iowalegendaryrye@gmail.com, and we'll send out bottles to anyone interested.
Yeah.
Happy to do it. We do have intentions of distributing the product internationally. We're speaking with people throughout Europe and Asia right now for distribution rights, and in the next 3 to 4 months, we'll have distributors all over the world, but as of right now, we send it out on a as-needed basis, and we distribute in all the Hy-Vees in Iowa and Nebraska as we speak.
Okay. It's a great product. I mean, I'm not just, like I said, I'm not blowing smoke up your butt. We've tried so many things, and there's a lot of good ones, but you honestly have been one of our favorites. My parents, my family have been here the last couple of weeks and stuff, and everybody, I'm like, you got to try this stuff. It's good stuff. So anyway, you're on the phone tonight because we want to talk about a ghost story. And I understand, I know your mom's here on the line. Why don't you set it up for us? What sort of story are we going to be hearing tonight from you, Heath?
Well, mom tells this story as well as anyone. And she told it to me the first time, and it sent chills up my spine. I'm not much of a superstitious person. And my grandma, who was the bootlegger, was the same. She was a German woman. She was very factual, not a lot of BS in her stories. And when mom told me what grandma told her, because of how well I knew grandma, I was like, oh my gosh, that really kind of sends chills up my spine. And I think mom probably has the best version of it because she was first person to the story when grandma called her about it. Mom?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, why don't you tell them a little bit about the story?
Well, this man, my mother took this man in because they bought the home where he had lived before. And he was walking to town, and my dad saw him crying because he had no place to go anymore. And so he said he could come ahead and visit at their house, and mom would take care of him and had his own room. And he lived with my mom for many years. And my dad passed away, and they still live together in a newer house in Miami. And she called me one night very, very upset because he was dying, and she was very upset and wanted to know if I could come over. We lived about 20 miles apart in different towns. And when I came over there, she told me that she had been praying, and he was dying, and she was praying while he was dying, and he spewed something out of his mouth alive. She said it was a little person, and I kept saying, Mom, are you sure? And she was very upset and didn't want to stay alone. And so I stayed with her that night, and she was very nervous because we had heard, Bible stories, and it spewed out that it goes to a plant or another animal, or, we didn't know. So she didn't want to be alone. And I questioned her, Mom, are you sure? And she said she was absolutely sure. And she never told my other brothers and sisters for a while, because she thought they think she's crazy, and they kind of did when she did tell us. They questioned her about the lighting and about how she just woke up, and she swears no, she can remember exactly what it looked like, and she can remember exactly what happened when she was praying over it. My mother wasn't one to, she was a very hardworking person. She came from a family of 11 children. She did 12 loaves of bread every Saturday. She was a very hardworking person, and kind of a no-nonsense person, so I honestly believed it, and that was kind of...
After you heard the story, was there ever any doubt in your mind, or did you ever try and rationalize, well, maybe Mom thought it was this or that, or was it just, no, I mean, she knew what it was.
No, I believed her completely because she called me, and she was very upset, and she wanted me to come and stay at her house because she was kind of afraid, she don't know where it went, she's thinking she's seen it, she knew what happened. It came from his mouth, and he was dying, and she was praying, and she don't know where it went.
Sure.
So she was very nervous, and she just wanted to know if I would come over and stay with her. Maybe she called me over because she made me marry, because she's a very religious person. And so, I don't know. Maybe she felt better if I was there with her. I don't know, but she called me. I had my children at home. I didn't take them with me, and she didn't tell me exactly what happened until I got there.
Sure.
So, but I could tell you, Jean, I wasn't upset, and she wasn't one to tell stories. She wasn't one to exaggerate what the kept gained by saying that. She didn't tell the other children right away, but then when I encouraged her to, of course, they doubted her. And Mom, was the lighting, or was you dreaming, or did you? She said, no, I was right there. I know exactly what I saw, and that's what it was. So, I don't know.
And Mom, didn't she describe it to you? What it didn't she say it actually? Small. She viewed it out, and it was small, and sat on the bed and laughed at her.
Yes, it laughed at her, and she was trying to find a picture of it in the book. And she came to one, a close to one, and it just looked like a little demon. Is what it looked like. The picture she showed in the book, but she couldn't exactly describe it. But it was alive, and it sat and laughed, and then it disappeared. And she don't know where it went or what happened. But.
Was that the only time that she experienced that? Was that like that and done, or did this happen ever again?
Just when he was dying. But the man was always going around, and always he was German. He would always be saying, God Dory, which is German, that's swearing. But he always said that. He was a little bit, I don't know if you want to, slower. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, he was mentally challenged. He always was mentally challenged.
But he had no place. And he was very ill-treated when he was younger. He was wore a lot, cussed out a lot, you know. And he thought the world of my mother. And I don't know. So she let him come and live with her. She had a room. She rented to him, and she took care of him. My father passed away, and he still stayed there. And then he died in that home. And that's when she called me that night, and I truly believe her because.
Sure.
Well, I don't know. Wouldn't be one to lie to me.
No, I mean, sometimes you have experiences like that you just can't explain, and the only people you can turn to with those experiences are your loved ones, and you know, because they're the ones that are going to believe you and trust you, and you can know you can trust them with such a an odd experience to believe you and go, yeah, this person wouldn't make this up to me.
So whether I don't know if it's, I mean, you hear of. Possession, and maybe that's because he was always cussing. He had been damned many times by his family. I mean, I don't know. That's what she was thinking, because as I said, she was very religious. But she explained it to me. She told me about it, and she didn't want to be left alone.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for sharing that story with us tonight, you guys. And Heath, thank you for sending us the spirits, for being a part of our program. We absolutely love your stuff. And Heath, if it's okay, I may reach out to you in a couple months and say, hey, you want to do another episode? Because your stuff is great.
Absolutely. And we really appreciate you taking the time to review it and share it with your listeners. We're excited to share the product. It is a final process of my grandma, and if you knew my grandma, you'd know the quality was everything.
It's awesome. And you know, I have family up in Wisconsin, and you know, we may sometime go ahead.
Yeah, we may come by, because we get through Iowa quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I just think it's so awesome that it was your grandmother that was the bootlegger. And
yeah.
Not I mean, you hear about guys all the time, but that is awesome.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, for 1930 to be a bootlegging grandmother.
That's awesome.
I have to guess she was the only grandmother in the history of Carroll County, which is where, you know, where prohibition of liquor really came from and distributed all over the world.
Yeah.
I think she might have been the only bootlegging grandma on the planet.
That's awesome. You have such a cool story.
Yeah.
Interesting story. Making it and things that happened while they made it.
Yeah, I would love to meet with you guys sometime, and maybe even like do like a video segment or something if we can get through there and
and
hang out for a little while. That'd be so fun. So Heath, and you guys, thank you so much. We'll be in touch, and we appreciate you being our spirit with spirit tonight.
All right, thank you, Tony and Jenny.
All right, have a great night, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us on the program this evening. Our phone number is 216-GHOST-10. 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us. Caller at 417, hang on the line. Right now we're going to go to our first caller of the evening off of the phone lines at 854. Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi. This is my name is Jacob.
Jacob, welcome to the program.
This story. Oh, yes, thank you. This was when I was about 10 years old, I guess. I was living at my grandmother's house in North Carolina at the time.
Okay.
It was fall, and I was off in the basement storage room trying to put some of my old, or trying to get some of my old collectibles out. I was walking out of the room, and it was really cold in there for some reason. It's usually quite warm. And I had heard a rustling noise in one of the closets that was in the back corner underneath the stairs. There was no light back there, so I tried using a flashlight, but its batteries were pretty low. As I looked around, the only thing I could see were some old clothes, and I knew they belonged to my great-great-grandmother that passed away when I was only like 2 years old. I had also found some old suitcases that were packed in some assorted papers. It was real quiet, and then all of a sudden, I stutter a lot, sorry.
Okay.
I heard a boom. I heard it sounded like two or three people running over my head and down the staircase into the basement. I quickly shut the door and ran around the corner to see who it was. No one was there, of course, and the door leading to the stairway was closed. I ran into the room in the basement I was staying in and shut it behind me. And all of a sudden, whenever I turned around, the curtains to the window that peeked just barely above the ground had come to the floor. I was terrified, to say the least. That night, I had fallen asleep and woke up to what felt like two hands pushing me over the side of the bed. I landed on the floor, and my door swung open as my dad rushed in to see what was the matter. Later on, this was years later, he hadn't told me until a while ago, but he had woke up one night to see someone hovering right above his face in the basement, and he slid to the other side of the bed, and what seemed to be my great-great-grandmother rushed over to the other side and then disappeared. 2 years later, after my first story, when I was 10, I had moved upstairs to what became my bedroom for a while. In this room, my great-great-grandmother had died. I had forgotten about what happened in the basement and what happened in my room down there. That is until I started having dreams of an older woman jumping from the roof of my house and past my window. I had this dream several times, and every now and then I'll still have it, but each time it happens, I'm in a different building, and I just see her jump off and then come past the window. I didn't really know who she was. She was just an older woman. After I started having these dreams, I woke up once in the middle of the night and saw a figure just sitting in the corner. This was the older woman from my dreams. This happened twice, and both times I was too afraid to confront it, so I turned on my side and stared at the wall. So 1 year after that, I discovered that my aunt that I had never met had also stayed in this room until she got married, moved, and was shot in the head. After this, I seen her all throughout the house. She always seemed much kinder than the older corner spirit that I had seen before, and so I was never really afraid. Now I live in South Carolina, and that's pretty much it.
So you think that it was the great-great-grandmother that was causing all of that, or do you think she was protecting you from something else that was going on?
I'm not really sure. It could have been the first one.
Okay. That's interesting that she would stick around, and it makes you wonder if she was tied in any way to the things that were under the stairs.
Yeah, I know. Probably because, like, all her old belongings.
Yeah. It's a lot to work through, a lot of various moving parts to that story. Thank you for sharing it with us, and hopefully just getting it out kind of helps to kind of work through it a little bit. Thanks for calling in tonight. We do greatly appreciate that. Thanks for doing that. We do appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, sure thing.
Let's go to another caller at 407. There we go. Caller at 407. Hi, you're on the air. And by the way, our lines are open at 216-446-7810. 216-GHOST-10, hello? If you want to share your ghost story
Hi
with
there.
Us. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, I'm Steve. I'm calling from Florida.
All right, Steve, let's hear your ghost story tonight.
Well, this isn't particularly involved me. This involves my father.
Okay. Okay.
He grew up in West Virginia, and he's had a lot of stuff happen to him over the years that is, I consider, paranormal, UFO stories, stuff like that. But, and he's a major skeptic. But, and a little side note, man, I love your all's little, the bar thing you guys got there. It's so awesome.
The local haunt?
I love that, something like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, the local haunt. Yeah, that's what you guys call it.
Well, if you're ever in the Branson.
I mean, the other podcast, what you guys do with the room and all that. I mean, I'm a maintenance guy by trade, so I love all that kind of stuff anyway. So.
Well, if you're ever in the Branson area, give me a message. But,
oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'd love to have a drink with you guys. But this story takes place when my father was a young man in West Virginia. Well, boy, actually, young man. He was a boy in West Virginia, and he was hanging out at a park one day and just, you know, doing stuff kids do. He's by himself, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. Probably rode his bike down there. He's 8 or 10 years old. And he was approached by an older man, a senior citizen, and nothing too out of the ordinary except the fact that he was wearing a pink suit with a black tie. You know, my dad was a kid, so he didn't think much of it. But as, you know, their conversation, you know, kept, you know, going on and on, the man was, like, asking questions about my dad's mom and, you know, his family and stuff like that. And, you know, my dad didn't think too much of it, but he still just thought it was kind of strange, like, why he would, like, just ask about his family and my dad's relatives and stuff like that. And, you know, he answered them honestly and stuff like that. You know, he just really didn't think much of it. He was just a little kid. Well, later on that night, he goes home and, you know, his mom's asking him, you know, everybody's asking him what he did that day and stuff like that. And says, oh, I was at the park and I ran into this old man, you know, and he was asking about y'all and everything like that, how you were doing. And, you know, my dad didn't know who he was at all, you know, but, you know, he had mentioned that he had a pink suit and, you know, he thought it was kind of funny, and a black tie. And my mom, or his mom, my grandmother, looked at him and dropped to her knees and was like having an emotional breakdown. Her father, who had died years earlier, was buried with the pink suit and a black tie. And he thought it was just the strangest thing. After that, you know, she had explained all of this to him, he was just like, even as a little kid, was like, oh, wow, you know, did I talk to my dead grandfather or something? But he, even now, like when he talks to it, he says, or talks about it or tells a story, he just kind of brushes it off and says, oh, there's got to be some explanation. You know, there's not only one pink suit, you know, made in the world or whatever, you know, however he explains it. But I always thought that was kind of a strange story. Actually, you guys read one on Real Ghost Stories Online, you know, the podcast. I wrote you guys a lengthy story about how he had, I don't know if you guys remember or not, it was last summer, but he had dinner and sat around with a family that the entire family had been dead because the father had supposedly killed them all. And he made contact with them and was with them after they had all died. He still thinks there's an explanation to that, too. So that's pretty much what I was calling in to tell you guys. So I think it's all crazy stuff, you know, but he's a hardcore skeptic, though. He goes by science.
I remember that story. And I have a question about the one you just told. Did he ever see a picture of his grandfather?
You know, I'd have to ask him that. I really would. I've thought to ask him that before, but I'd have to ask him that. And, you know, it probably does look a lot like the guy he saw, but my dad in his mind is just, it would freak him out even if, you know, it probably does freak him out, but he just doesn't want to, I don't think he wants to believe that ghosts are real for some real weird reason or another. I don't know what it is. He's such a skeptic. And he's had so many strange occurrences happen to him throughout his life. I mean, I could talk to you guys for hours about the stuff that's happened to him. And he's a straight shooter. He doesn't make stuff up. He's just one of those guys that just, he's had a lot of weird stuff happen to him. And he's just, a lot of them shook him to his core. It took him some time to get over it, you know, just because it was like mind-boggling experiences. But he's just, he still thinks there's explanations to everything that happened to him.
And ditto.
They can't be paranormal.
Yeah.
I know what you're...
I don't get it. I don't know why he just won't believe, you know? I've never personally had much happen to me, and yeah. I'm a believer. You know?
I know.
I've just seen yeah. so much evidence and hearing y'all's stories, and everybody tells yeah. it's sincere. Yeah. So
we're on the same page.
I appreciate you guys having me on the podcast. I love it.
No, I get what you're saying. I mean, my dad's the same way. And it's one of those deals where it's like, I don't get it, but okay.
It's like you heard the dead cat, yeah. but you don't believe it, right?
Yeah. I mean, my parents, their cat recently died. And my dad, he's laying on the couch at night. He hears the cat throwing up. He hears the cat scratching its claws on the kitchen, on the
kitchen floor.
The kitchen floor, and the cat's dead.
Right.
And he's like, man, I don't know what that was. It's just your mind just repeats these things. Is his explanation to me. And I mean, I get it to a certain extent, but if you're like if you're like kind of drowsing and stuff, sure. Okay. I get what that is.
But your mom's mind yeah. and your yeah. dad's mind are not going to repeat the same
no.
thing at the same
but
time.
But they're hearing the same thing at the same time. And if you're wide awake and you're like hearing this shit, it's not drowsiness mind yeah. repeating repetitive things.
I mean, it's blatantly happy to you.
Exactly.
You can't deny it.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. You just want to shake them and be like, look, I get you, man. All right. Well, thank you for calling and sharing in your story. I think we're kindred spirits on that.
Y'all have a good night.
All right. Have a good
Thanks.
Night. Bye-bye. All right. The phone number is 216-GHOST-10, 216-GHOST-10. We have callers on hold at 214 and 480. Hang on the line if you are there. We're going to go to our caller at 289 first. Who has been on hold the longest first, and let's hear your ghost story. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Jay from Hamilton, Ontario.
Jay, welcome to the show. Let's hear your ghost story.
Okay. So I grew up in this house pretty much throughout my childhood, since about 1985 to about 1994, it was a very, very bad and haunted place. It was actually near a place called a Battlefield Park. It was an old 1812 battlefield, and there's a lot of death there, and it got even to the point where even when we went to view the house, a bird did a kamikaze dive right into the front window. The front living room window. Yeah, it was all sorts of bad, but, you know, we moved there anyways because that's all we could afford. And a lot of things would happen to me because, you know, I was specifically targeted for some reason, like pictures would start talking to me and all that crap, and the windows, like, no matter how high I would open them and lock them in place, they would always fall down on my fingers no matter what I did. One of the things I do want to point out is there's this one time in the middle of the day when I saw my mom in the basement, but it was sort of a demonic form. It was right in the middle of the day. I was doing laundry. My mom was upstairs in the kitchen doing dishes and all that, and I came downstairs to collect my clothes from the dryer, and right behind me was the furnace and a stone pillar, because it was one of those old basements, and I came to collect my clothes, and I felt something behind me, and as soon as I turned around, I saw a physical manifestation of my mom, but only for a second. but the second felt like it was an eternity, and her eyes were red, like just completely solid red, and it was staring down at me like it wanted me to die, like it was going to kill me, like I just pretty much saw what evil looked like, and it pretty much like vanished as quickly as I saw it. And that was one of the big ones, I guess.
Did you have any issues with your mom? Is my next question.
No, actually, no. It was, but I scurried up and ran upstairs and told my mom what I saw.
Yeah.
And
what was her reaction to that?
Yeah. Well, she kind of knew what sort of house we were living in, and she just kind of just shrugged it off because things were happening to her as well.
Yeah,
but not as severe. But
it's kind of par for the course for though of her thinking, okay, there's something that's going to screw with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That wasn't the only thing that happened, but yeah, that was one of the things that constantly happened. She'd always hear like a little girl crying in the basement at night, and all that sort of thing. But
it just sounds like something really dark was in the basement and trying to somehow get to both of you, either, you know, through the little girl, you know, attracting your mom down there, or trying to somewhat look like your mom to get to you. It just sounds like something really bad was down there.
Yeah, it was a manipulation thing of trying to get to you.
Right.
I mean, it's even like called my name at night when it would even use like my mom's voice even at night when she was asleep and nobody was awake and someone to try to lure me downstairs.
Yeah.
All that sort of thing.
That's not good.
It wasn't a good place.
No. Not at all. Not at all. And the thing is, I mean, these things exist. People have gone through these experiences, and homes like this exist. And that's the scariest, weirdest thing that I think people who start to dive into our show and understand these things. I mean, one of the biggest things is feeling that they're not alone.
Yeah.
When they hear stories like this, like they think, oh my God, no one's been through this. But no, I mean, your story, as rare as it is quite common in the terms of paranormal and demonic type things going on. But you're not alone. And I believe what you had happened was something, you know, very dark. Thank goodness that's where it ended. But,
I have a question for you since we got, since we got you on the line. When you hear that this is something that we hear about quite often and is common, does that bring any kind of comfort to you to know that, or is that not helpful at all? Because I'm just curious if just knowing that there's other people in that boat with you that have experienced very, very similar things makes you feel any better at all. Because I personally would be the kind of person that'd be doubting myself until I had confirmation from other people that yes, this thing happens.
Well, I have found that I have come to a better understanding because I really was the only one before, but I knew
you're breaking up.
Because, you know, I was fully aware, I was fully awake.
You're breaking up really bad. I'm going to
things like Coast and your show and all that sort of thing does bring some sort of a reason, like some sort of a reasoning to it, to where, like, yeah, you know, this does happen to other people.
Yeah.
This is actually more common than people think, and mm-hmm. and it's just not a bunch of BS as you know some skeptics make it out to be.
Right.
Because, sure.
You know, a lot of us are intelligent, and it just happens.
I mean, that's the most part of our audience. It's normal people, normal everyday lives, normal jobs. There's nothing where it's like, oh, that's kind of an odd life you're living. You know, I mean, and some, sure, but for the most part, it's not. It's just these things happen to everyday people. And that's the biggest thing. So, yeah. Thank you for taking the courage, having the courage to share your story with us tonight. I can assure you,
thank you. It's
going to make someone else feel good and at least, you know, reassured that they're not alone. And that's what this is really all about. So,
thank you.
So thanks for taking that time. Our phone number here is 216-GHOST-10, 216-GHOST-10. Caller at 480. Hang on the line. I know you've been there for about 12 minutes, but there's one in front of you at 214. We're going to go there first. They've been there for about 14 minutes. Hi, you are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Elise. I'm calling from Dallas.
Hey, Elise, welcome to the program. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. I have a quick one for you tonight, but I found it kind of comical, so I'm hoping you guys will too.
We don't do anything comical on this show at all, ever. Nothing. Never. Ever, ever, ever comical.
Number, never mind.
Go for it.
No, I'm just kidding. On a sad note, I lost my grandma recently. She had been sick for a long time, and it wasn't a surprise. We kind of knew it was coming. But I think in those situations, you can prepare yourself for it, and you still are always, you know, not quite ready when you receive the call that someone you love has actually passed.
Sure.
She was a very routine woman, I guess is what I would say. She liked things a certain way. She stuck to a very particular routine, and she was very, very detailed about her skincare, which kind of plays into my story.
Okay.
So a little while ago, maybe like a week ago, I actually had a fall and I sprained my lower back. So I was getting ready to go to bed one night and I decided that I was going to take a muscle relaxer and I put one of those sheet face masks on, like from Sephora. Those, it's kind of like the papery kind that you can sleep with on. And I didn't think anything about it. I put the face mask on. I took my muscle relaxer. I went to bed. Everything was fine. I woke up the next morning and I realized that my mask was off and I thought, oh, that's weird. Well, I must have just pulled it off in my sleep. I looked over and on my nightstand, it had been perfectly folded into this neat little square and placed right in the center of my nightstand in a place where I couldn't even, if I was laying on the bed, couldn't even reach my hand out and get from I have no idea how that happened. And it was so weird because I thought, oh, okay, it was probably my husband. He came in and saw me wearing the face mask. He thought he was going to be sweet. He took it off. Yeah, my husband was out of town. I was home by myself. And that thought didn't occur to me until a little later on. And then I thought, because I could understand if I would have pulled it off, you know, half asleep with a muscle relaxer. But I do not think that I would have neatly folded it like that and placed it in a nice little square within reach that wasn't even anywhere near where I could have gotten to it on a bed. So to me, I kind of took that as a way of my grandma saying hi, just checking in, clearly still disapproving of my skincare routine. But, you know, I thought it was just a nice little hello from her that made me feel better. I just thought that was kind of funny. I thought of all the ways that someone, I mean, I think I'd rather take that than her actually showing herself to me, but
sure.
It still made me laugh when I thought about it the next day.
I like that story. I agree. I think she was probably just letting you know, even though you were home alone and hurt, that she was there. But I agree that, you know, not seeing the grandmother is a good thing when it comes to that. So.
Wouldn't you just love to have like a video camera, though, of just like a closed caption or a closed circuit one where it's like, oh, there's the
mask
thing being folded
yeah.
up and just being placed there and with no one there doing it.
Wow.
Just, yeah. Gosh.
No, I would never sleep in my bed.
Exactly. True. You really probably don't want that, do you? Yeah. Good answer.
No, not at all. I love paranormal stuff, but not so much when it happens to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, if there was a camera that showed that, it would be time to burn the house down.
At a distance, hearing the stories is one thing. Yeah. It's a totally different thing when it actually happens to you firsthand. Thank you for sharing the story. And I love your humor.
Thank you all right. So much. I love your show.
Oh, right. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Okay, y'all take care.
Bye. Y'all too. Bye-bye. All right, let's go to a caller at 480. And by the way, the phone lines are now open at 216-GHOST-10, 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us. Call in and we'll get you on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Tasha. I'm from Arizona.
Hey, Tasha, what's your ghost story?
So I actually have a lot of them. I've been listening to you guys for about 2 weeks now, and I love you guys, by the way. But I've noticed that my family, my siblings and I have been very sensitive since we're young to, the paranormal. But this one just stood out to me a lot because it just freaked me out. It was more recent. It was in my earlier college days. My aunt would have us babysit her kids, two little kids, both under two. And my sister would babysit them first, but my twin sister was really spooked and she didn't want to go back. She just said the kids would freak out in the corner and say that there was a man there. And so my sister was like, I just didn't feel comfortable babysitting them. So she never did. So my aunt offered me more money to do it. So I was like, okay, being a college student, I needed the money. So I went and I babysat them and it was going good. And the oldest one was taking a nap. And then he woke up, and then he was, it was not, a regular wake-up. He just kind of jolted, and then he was screaming at the top of his lungs, just pointing in the corner, saying that there was a man there. And so I didn't know what to do. I was, freaking out. I was like, okay, this is what my sister was talking about. So I had to calm him down. So I was trying to be calm for him, and then I didn't want him to wake up his baby sister. So I picked him up, and I calmed him down finally. So I brought the baby back into the nursery room, and I was changing her. And then all of a sudden I heard a voice in my sister, my name in my sister's voice, calling me from the living room. And so I was like, okay, she's probably here to pick me up. So I put the kids back down and I walked into the living room and I called my sister saying, walking all over. And then I looked through all through the house and I kept hearing it. And so I walked to where the voice was. And that's when I realized I wasn't finding my sister. So I looked back to the nursery and I just ran back there because I was like, this thing is probably taking me away from the kids. So I ran back there and I picked up both the kids and was holding them in my arms and was just like, I have to keep them safe. I don't know what this voice is trying to do or if this tall man that my younger cousin was seeing was trying to get him. And about 10, 15 minutes later, I heard a knock at the door and it was my sister. And I was like, holy crap, I heard your voice. You were here calling my name. And she looked at me, she was like, you experienced it, right? I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what it was, but since that day, we never went back to watch the kids.
Was it just in your aunt's house or was it with the kids wherever they were? Were you ever babysitting them at your house and then they had something happen?
So my aunt told me that that's what happened to her son. Apparently, from my experience, there's always a darker entity attached to one person. I know I grew up with one attached to my younger brother. So my younger brother couldn't sleep alone because he would wake up with night terrors and a nosebleed. And so I've noticed kind of that, and I was aware of that and was comfortable, not comfortable, but kind of used to that. But the whole kind of trying to get me away, lure me away from the kids and calling my name. And this was in the, in the middle of the day, probably at 1 p.m. And so I never experienced really anything during the day, usually at night, kind of a shadow and stuff. So I believed it was just attached to him from what my aunt said and from what my sister and I experienced.
Okay, because I was just wondering if it was something with the house, but I hate it when it's something attached to the kids because that's it's like, what do you do, you know, as a parent or somebody that's taking care of the kid? You know, hopefully things kind of get better for him.
Oh, yeah. This was a couple of years ago. Since then, my aunt told me, like, he hasn't really had any night terrors or anything. I believe he's, like, 5 now, so he hasn't had anything really traumatic happen to him or, like, where he wakes up anymore and does that. I think he kind of grew out of it, but, yeah, it was just mainly with him, and that was, for me, that was, like, the scariest experience just because, like I said, I've never experienced anything during the day, and especially saying my name and taking me away from the kids. That's what freaked me out the most, because I thought something was going to happen to them.
Yeah.
And so I was just holding on to them as tight as I could.
Right, right.
Thank you for sharing the story with us tonight and taking the time to really get that out. I mean, hopefully that helped a little bit to kind of get that out there.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to some of the podcasts, and I noticed, like, some people have the same, not the same, but kind of similar experiences. So I wanted to call in and share my story as well.
Yeah. Sometimes just talking about it, just getting it out there, it's therapeutic in itself, you know?
And you have no idea how many other people that never actually call in are actually benefiting from your story.
Yeah.
So it's always a good thing.
Yeah. That's the
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for listening to my story.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing it with us. Have a great night. Our phone number is 216-GHOST-10, 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us. We have a caller at 732, but hang on 1 second, caller at 732. We should probably try one of the other beverages from Iowa Legendary Rye. Which one would you like to go
I'm
for?
I'm curious about this one.
And the
white rye.
There's ice on the other side of your thing if you want ice.
Who needs ice?
I need ice. I like ice.
But
you're more of a purist.
Yeah.
So this is the, and as he said earlier, this is rye that's, it's just not done in the...
In the barrels.
In the barrel. Yes. In the oak. Okay. Caller at 732. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This would be Cisco, and I'll take mine on the rocks, please, sir.
Okay, Cisco, it's on the rocks. It's ready for you as soon as you get to Branson.
Thank you so much. I could use one. Hey, I thought I'd call in and share just an adorable animal ghost story. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah,
we'd love to hear it, Cisco, of course.
Okay. A friend of mine, she knows a policeman, and they were having a talk, and he actually showed her the picture. Now, it's a little sad because it was a car accident, and a young boy was lost in the accident. And the officer, I guess, had to take pictures of the car, the wreck, you know, and for the records. And he was looking at the pictures, and he saw a small dog by the driver's side door, a little bit further back. And right away, he just thought to himself, the dog was in the car and must have run off away from the wreck. And so he started to look for the dog. And one of the other officers in the EMT, they're starting to look for the dog because they thought, my gosh, this family's been through enough. We want to get their pet back. And they couldn't find the dog. And when he got with the family, he showed the picture to them. And he said, I'm sorry, we couldn't find the dog. He must be out there somewhere. And the person who knew the family just stood there and said, well, there's no need to look for him. He absolutely was the pet of the young boy, but the dog had passed 3 years before. So here this little dog came to help that boy cross, and I just thought that was lovely.
It is.
Isn't that something?
Do you think that happens a lot? I mean, we know family members come back, but I always wonder, do you get to see your pets again? And that kind of gives me hope, you know, because we all have that favorite pet that we want to see again. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good one.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I saw the picture, and it's just, it looks like a dog standing there. And it was just like a little terrier. It had, you know, specific marks on it. I mean, it couldn't be just a mistake, you know.
Sure.
Right.
And it was just amazing. And I'd heard about it right after we had to put one of our cats down.
And I know I've called in before and told you all about the under the bed thing and how I cleaned the house and they went back up under the bed. And so it was just, animals are amazing. They're just so sensitive. And, you know, you really need to pay attention to your pets, you know. But this little guy, his name was Simon, and, you know, I had to put him to sleep, and nobody wants to do that, you know.
Sure.
And he had had a stroke, and it was just, it was time, and it was best for him. And, of course, we got him cremated, and he's a little box with a little name on the top, and he's sitting on my dresser next to a picture and a little rose there we have for him. And his sister, now they were inseparable. They were rescued together, and they'd been together for 11, 12 years. She always slept under the bed, where Simon, the cat, slept on top of the bed. Well, the first night that we put him to sleep, I was sitting there reading a book, and my husband's asleep, and here come the little footprints across the top of the blanket, just like he did every night, and curled up right where did you see the press of the blanket go in, and he's laying there right next to my husband's leg, as he always is, and you know me, I look over at him, and I go, okay, little guy, you can stay for a while, but don't you stay too long, I don't want you to get stuck, you know,
right.
Sure. You know, we're okay, you need to do your thing.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the sister cat, Ginger, now sleeps, instead of under the bed, she sleeps on the floor as close as possible to that dresser right underneath where his ashes are kept. You tell me animals don't know.
They know.
They know.
They know far more than we do half the time. Yeah. We were just talking about this, and it'll be actually on a future episode of the show probably in a week or two. We were talking about animals the other day.
Yeah.
And it just about their, you know, just ghosts of animals. And I was talking about my cat as a child where, what was it brought up? It was brought up about like something was, in the belief of pets don't turn into ghosts or something.
You brought it up. You said that was what you were taught as a child and the school you went to. And I think that's a crock of shit, honestly.
Yeah, where it was always taught like, well, animals don't have souls, so they're not, there's no afterlife for animals. They're dead, they're gone. And that was always what I was taught. But it's like, I honestly, God, I mean, my closest experience to a personal experience to anything in the afterlife has been with a pet ghost, was my cat. But I've seen some stuff, I've experienced some stuff that was on beyond pets, but, I would say more than anything, I think more common than anything is pets that are showing up after they've passed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been doing a lot of research on animal ghosts lately, and it's just phenomenal. Just the sheer tonnage of experiences. I mean, it's just amazing. There's even in Britain, there's a road named White Horse Road because there's a white horse that's seen riding down that road so frequently, they named it White Horse Road. And I wanted to call in and tell you something very special. This is just for Tony, and he's never going to stop talking about it now.
All right, let's hear it.
Your ghost. I found your ghost chicken, love.
My ghost chicken?
Ghost chicken.
All right.
I found your ghost chicken.
Is it haunting a KFC or a Popeyes?
Well, he actually runs around a courtyard. It was kind of an ugly story, but he wound up staying. And I don't know whether it was, I don't know whether it's an intelligent haunting or it's a residual, you know, where it's just an imprint. And he just keeps going, you know, going around this one. It's a farmhouse in York. Okay. In Britain.
Okay.
And I said, man, I found Tony's ghost chicken. I have to call and let him know.
Okay, so my question,
you know,
is, Cisco.
So, yes.
Do you know if this was like a beloved chicken or if this was just a yard bird? Was this, because I always wonder if it's that connection to a person that makes it, you know, have the staying ability. So,
well, we had talked about that before, that it's the love connection that once you, whether it's a goat or a cow or whatever,
sure.
That's the ones that come back and make its connection to the person. But now, if it's an imprint or a residual, then it really wouldn't have to have that. It's just an imprint, you know, like a replaying of a video or a recording or whatever you want to call it. This chicken seems to be both, though. So, again, just like the chicken or the egg, I don't know what comes first because it was a pet and then it was also a meal.
Sure. Oh, gosh. So I don't know.
Meals can be ghosts.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, meals can be ghosts. But I mean, I don't know if it was that trauma. I mean, I don't have enough information on it. But again, I thought I had an answer. And again, just like this great big paranormal onion, we're always peeling back. Yeah. I got more questions.
Okay, so every time
I did find the chicken.
Every time y'all prove Tony right, I have to pay for it for a certain amount of time. So just be aware. So now I'm never going to stop hearing about the chicken ghost.
I have a question for you. I have one for you, Cisco, because my parents' cat just recently died. And my question to you is, how on earth do I convince my dad that, yes, there's a ghost cat going on? Even though he's heard the cat, even though he's experienced the ghost of the cat, he's heard the scratching. Uh-huh. He's heard the cat, hacking up hairballs as a ghost. The cat's dead. He's heard these things. About a month and a half. But after the cat died, he's heard these things, and he writes it off as it's just mind memory. It's you know, well, we're so influenced by these things, and we hear these things so frequently that it's just our mind playing with us. And I get there's a certain element of that thing to certain things. But not when you're wide awake and you hear the cat scratching and you hear the cat hacking up a hairball.
Right.
And you're awake and you're sitting there and you're hearing this
thing. And your mom hears it at the same time.
Simultaneously in a different room. My dad has never been one to ever. It was the family cat. It was my cat originally. They adopted it when I couldn't take a cat into an apartment that I lived in years ago. So they took the cat over, and it was a lovely cat, really friendly cat. But he's never been one to ever admit to it believing in the paranormal ever. It's just he has an excuse or a reason for everything. So now that he's had some of these experiences, I thought maybe, just maybe, my last conversation with him when he visited would be, maybe you're right. Maybe there is something out there. But it always ends in, it's our minds. It's our minds repeating things. What the hell can I say to him?
Yeah.
Or is there any advice from you and your perspective of how to make someone who's in that mindset, and I think there's probably a lot of listeners out there who are feeling that too, to try and further that conversation to go, maybe there is something more here.
Right. Well, you know me. I'm going to go with the emotional side of it. I'm going to care more about the cat.
Sure.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if an animal is coming back, it's not coming back for itself. It's coming back for someone in the house that it thinks needs them. You know what I mean? Like it cares for them, or somebody emotionally needs them, or somebody's grieving them, or somebody misses them. It draws them back, and they feel like they're needed. So what you can do is kind of go around the back door of it and say, okay, Dad, but for the cat's sake, let's tell him that he can go and that you guys are good, you know, and you're taken care of, and he can go on and do whatever cats are supposed to do.
Okay.
And see if he accepts it where he's doing it for the cat's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does do that and says to the cat, you know, I'm good, we're good, I really want you to go on. If he does that, then you've already won without him admitting it.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody gets it in that case.
That's great advice.
That's what you need to do, Tony.
I like
that's the best. Yeah, and I mean, you could do it together, because you could say, basically, the only reason an animal like that stayed, a loving companion animal would stay back like that and keep doing things is because someone in the house is either grieving them emotionally or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Whether they know it or admit it or not. See, because I'm going to guess that your dad probably misses that cat a lot more than he admits.
He does. Yes. I mean, the cat loved him
just
a lot.
That's just the way. Yeah. So it's more than likely attached to them. Your mom is probably, she's just so more open-minded and everything, where she's just going to be, you know, not the one holding. And I don't want to say holding back, but you know what I mean? They come and say, here's another one. Real quick, there was a lady who got a babysitting job, and she's living in. And she just met the new family, and the kids were real young. She helped the kids to bed, and it was, you know, the new night and everything. And it was the husband and the wife, and they invited her to a late dinner to sit and discuss things. And it was a real normal setting. And there was the gentleman at one end and the mom at the other, and she sat in the middle, and a huge, beautiful Airedale sitting at the feet of the gentleman. They had a nice dinner, nice conversation. She goes to her room. She goes to bed. The next day she wakes up, finds the guy had died that night in his sleep. Okay? Now, everything got turned asunder, and she was no longer there, and she went and visited the family and the neighbors and everything not too long after that, a couple of weeks. And she said, well, I don't see the dog. Where's the dog? And she described the dog, and the wife just went white. And she said, well, you saw his Airedale? And she said, yes, I did. And she said, well, the Airedale had died 5 years earlier and was never in the house the night she was in the house. So you see, the animal comes back to help its person. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't need us as much as we need them, and they think that we need them. So they always come back when we need them, even when we don't think we do.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, and I've got 1,000 of those. So it's always the animals coming back for us. So somebody in that house really misses that cat not admitting it is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be a nice conversation to have. And if he does that, then in his own little stubborn way, he's kind of admitting more to it, because you can, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but yeah. You know, you can't make up your mind.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. Does that sound okay?
Yes. It sounds great, Cisco. Thank you for the insight. I really appreciate that.
I love you. Enjoy winning your chicken. And I love you very much. I love you both. I love you both, and I hope to talk with you soon, okay?
Okay.
We love you too, Cisco.
Thanks, Cisco. We love you too. Thanks for calling in.
Blessings, babe. Bye. Good night.
You too. Bye. Good night. All right, that wraps up our program for the evening. Thank you guys for calling in. Thank you guys for listening in tonight. We greatly appreciate it. And we were an hour late than normal tonight, but we made it work. And
we still had enough callers to make a show.
Had a good time to doing the show. I think almost doing this later probably works almost for, especially for folks on the West Coast and Mountain Time.
I get that, babe, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Not for you.
I'm just thinking, you know, getting little ones up for school early. That's,
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll probably go back to our normal time next. Not actually, next week we're off.
Next week we're off.
Next week we are off. Yeah. So next week at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m., we're not going to be here unless I just flash on really quick going, look, we're here. But for the most part, we're not going to do a show next week at this time. But the following week, we will be back. So next week, we're off. We're not doing the show next week. But the following week, we'll be back doing the regular show live with your calls and everything as normal. So
yes.
So thanks to our friends at Iowa Legendary Rye. Great stuff. Really a quality product.
This one's mine now.
You like the white?
This one's mine now.
You've tried the white and...
This one's mine too. Just saying.
The vodka's good too. But
my pile.
It's good stuff. So thanks to our friends over there for...
You can have that.
Okay. I'm happy with this. Our friends over there for being our spirit this week on the program. Until next time, in a week away, 1 week off, when we'll be back.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we'll be back.
That's how that
live
works.
Episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you for listening. And if you're listening to the podcast, there's no intermittent anything. It's just, it's everything. But
yeah.
Live, that's how it works. So until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi for Jenny Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.